after the 12 years in the crypto, and I think I become a crypto like native, I start to feel like this is my home, right? If I sell like all the crypto and go any other places, there's nowhere I can go.
Welcome to Bankless, where we explore the frontier of internet money and internet finance. This is Ryan Sean Adams. I'm here with David Hoffman, and we're here to help you become more bankless. Guys, we have Justin Sun, the controversial founder of the Tron blockchain, on the podcast today. Why in the world did we do this episode? Well, it's because Tron has some real traction out here. And this is the first time we've ever had Justin Sun on the podcast. And I got to say, David, it proved to be a pretty fascinating and sometimes hilarious conversation.
Yeah, I had fun.
I had fun as well. If you are not familiar with Tron, it's an open source proof of stake layer one chain. It was launched during the peak of ICO mania back in September 2017. If you were around at that time, you will remember it as a copy pasta of Ethereum. And historically, I'd say it's been really dialed up to the max on marketing, aggressive marketing, I would say, bombastic claims, some might say, and hence a lot of the controversy surrounding it. But there's also some traction here, particularly in the peer-to-peer stablecoin market, where in some sectors, in some geographies around the world, Tron is actually fulfilling the crypto mission of banking the unbanked. And there's a lot of on-chain activity that actually proves that. So a very interesting conversation as far as that goes as well. Something covered. Who is Justin Sun? Why is he in crypto? What's he here to do? We also talk about why he built Tron and why he wishes he'd copied Ethereum 100% rather than just 95%. What Justin thinks of Tron's previous marketing tactics and why he might not do it this way again. And why Tron sent Bankless a cease and desist. That's a true story that actually happened. And finally, who he admires in crypto, including a really interesting conversation about Vitalik Buterin.
The why Tron sent Bankless a cease and desist is actually how this podcast got started. You know, Bankless, we're pretty good at making friends. And we, of course, were interfacing with Justin's lawyers, not Justin himself. And I can't remember some podcast meeting that Ryan and I were having at Bankless. We just had the idea like, haha, what if we had Justin Sun on the podcast? And then I was like, well, let me go text the lawyers. Let's see what happens. And of course, the lawyers wanted to review the questions. We wanted to make sure we wouldn't ask anything like too crazy. But as soon as we actually got to talk to Justin Sun, both of us were like, you know, like, we're just going to go at it and see what happens. And Justin Sun was like, yeah, we're just going to go at it and see what happens. So as soon as we got past the lawyers, things got a lot more personable, I would say. And I found Justin a lot more personable than I would have expected on this episode. I had a pretty fun time.
Yeah, so did I. And certainly this is not an endorsement of Tron.
Nope.
And, you know, this is not a claim that Tron is the most decentralized blockchain on the planet.
We definitely got one side of Justin Sun.
Yeah.
We saw the very like personable, happy side of Justin Sun.
I gotta say though, Dave, there's something to the fact that Tron has survived all of this time. And what doesn't lie to me,
and so has he,
is the traction that Tron actually has in the stablecoin market. And it's actually incredibly impressive, the amount of block space it's selling, the fees that it's throwing off.
Like traction that even Ethereum would be jealous of.
Yeah, there's something here, and it is surprising. So one other thing, David, I want to talk a little bit about the backstory of this episode, more detail on how it came to be and what were some of the provisions going into the episode. But we'll save that for the debrief conversation. If you're a Bankless citizen, you already have access to that. That's on the premium podcast feed that you now have. If you are not a citizen, consider upgrading. There's a link in the show notes, and you can hear our thoughts after this episode with Justin Sun. All right, let's get right to the episode. But before we do, we want to thank the sponsors that made this possible, including our number one recommended exchange for 2024. That is Kraken.
Kraken knows crypto. Kraken's been in the crypto game for over a decade. And as one of the largest and most trusted exchanges in the industry, Kraken is on the journey with all of us to see what crypto can be. Human history is a story of progress. It's part of us, hardwired. We're designed to seek change everywhere, to improve, to strive. And if anything can be improved, why not finance? Crypto is a financial system designed with the modern world in mind. Instant, permissionless, and 24/7. It's not perfect, and nothing ever will be perfect. But crypto is a world-changing technology at a time when the world needs it the most. That's the Kraken mission, to accelerate the global adoption of cryptocurrency so that you and the rest of the world can achieve financial freedom and inclusion. Head on over to kraken.com/bankless to see what crypto can be. Not investment advice. Crypto trading involves risk of loss. Cryptocurrency services are provided to US and US territory customers by Payward Ventures Inc. PVI, doing business as Kraken. Arbitrum is the leading Ethereum scaling solution that is home to hundreds of decentralized decentralized applications. Arbitrum's technology allows you to interact with Ethereum at scale with low fees and faster transactions. Arbitrum has the leading DeFi ecosystem, strong infrastructure options, flourishing NFTs, and is quickly becoming the Web3 gaming hub. Explore the ecosystem at portal.arbitrum.io. Are you looking to permissionlessly launch your own Arbitrum Orbit chain? Arbitrum Orbit allows anyone to utilize Arbitrum's secure scaling technology to build your own Orbit chain, giving you access to interoperable, customizable permissions with dedicated throughput. Whether you're a developer, an enterprise, or a user, Arbitrum Orbit lets you take your project to new heights. All of these technologies leverage the security and decentralization of Ethereum. Experience Web3 development the way it was always meant to be. Secure, fast, cheap, and friction-free. Visit arbitrum.io and get your journey started in one of the largest Ethereum communities. Are you launching a token? Is it already live? How are you managing the legal and tax obligations for providing token grants to your team? It's no secret that token management gets complicated. Between learning all the legal language and tax obligations in every country that your team is in, token grant management can feel like an obstacle course, but it doesn't have to. That's where Toku steps in. Toku provides practical tools to handle token grants, allowing for effective oversight of token distributions and payroll tax compliance for employees, contractors, advisors, and investors. They also handle tax withholding through their real-time tax calculations that can be done by Toku or integrated into any payroll EOR providers in any jurisdiction. Toku is a trusted provider of Protocol Labs, DYDX Foundation, Mina Protocol, and many more. Get started for free and make token compensation simple at toku.com/bankless.
Bankless Nation, today we talk to Justin Sun, who is the founder of Tron, which is a $12 billion blockchain at the time of recording, securing over $50 billion worth of stablecoins. And I'll just note, actually, David, I'm not sure if you know that, that's more than Ethereum in terms of Tether. There's more Tether on Tron than Ethereum at the time of recording. Justin, welcome to Bankless.
Thank you, Ryan and David.
Okay, so this is the first time we've had you on Bankless, actually. And I don't know, David, we've been doing this podcast for about four years. So we've gone through some stuff in crypto, some crypto cycles. And you've been through many cycles in crypto as well. So I think we should really start this conversation by getting to know you. Get the Bankless Nation introduced to Justin Sun. So maybe we could start there. Why did you get into crypto? Can you tell us the story?
Yes, sure. So in around 2011, I graduated from Peking University in Beijing at that time. And then I applied for the graduate school in United States in UPenn. So I joined UPenn in around 2012. And then at 2012, I was getting started to know about Bitcoin. So at that time, Bitcoin is around $1 trading on MTGOX. But at that time, I started to know about Bitcoin. And around 2013, I joined Ripple Labs. So at that time, it's called OpenCoin. So I was, I think, the first like Asian employee probably in Ripple Labs. And then later, company rebrand to Ripple Labs. So before that, it's called OpenCoin. And then rebrand to Ripple Labs. And then I was the first employee in China as well. I was sent by Ripple back to China to be the chief representative in Greater China area. So I did lots of the work to develop XRP Ripple community at that time. And then I move on, leave the Ripple, I think around 2016, then created a new blockchain called Tron. Actually, one of the reasons why I always kind of like interested in stablecoin payments is kind of like back to 2013 when I first joined Ripple. Actually, right, everybody knows like one of the biggest vision for XRP and Ripple protocol is to become a global like settlement layer for payment. The first version of Ripple actually has like gateway, right? So basically all different like fiat can create like gateway on Ripple and sending the stable coin. At that time, we don't have like stable concept first, but sending like fiat between the blockchain protocol. So that's like how Ripple like brought the idea in the first place. So that's why when I create a Tron, the first like use case come to my mind is payment, right? So everyone, everywhere just can use like a stable coin to make payment. Even right when I create Tron at that time, like stable coin still is not like popular, very popular in the space. At that time, like Tether just like newly introduced to crypto traders. At that time, I think most of the people just like trading crypto with Bitcoin, sending to like Poloniex, right? Just trading outer coins with Bitcoin. But I think after almost 7 years from now, right, after I create Tron, today, like everybody, especially like new users come to crypto world, they always like get used to trade crypto just by using Tether on Tron, which I believe is a very big dynamic shift, right, from like Bitcoin to Tron, which obviously I believe there has lots of advantage, right, why we eventually have this kind of shift. But I won't elaborate on that, but still continue my crypto journey, right? And then I think after 5 years, right, after we introduce like Tron, like 5 years from now, so I think we have developed like a lot of new application on top of Tron network. But still, I believe Tron and the blockchain world is fascinating. We will have more and more possibility. I think stablecoin payments and the settlement is only one of them.
This is really fascinating to hear your journeys begin with Ripple very early as well into your career. It sounds like after graduating university.
Yes.
It's funny. I remember Vitalik Buterin saying in 2013, he actually tried to get an internship at Ripple. For some reason, he didn't. But I'm not sure if you took his job, Justin. But it would have been a funny historical coincidence if you guys worked there at the same time. But I'm curious, like a lot of people come to crypto for different reasons, right?
Yes.
And you know, some people are here for the money.
Yes.
Some people are here for the tech. Some people are here for just the opportunity. Some people are here to change the world. Why are you here?
Yes, I think for me, I'm quite lucky when I first like graduated from school, right? So the first thing come to my mind is cryptocurrency. Actually, I haven't had a chance to get into like AI industry, right? To get into like other like tech industry. So the first industry I get in is crypto. So that's why I also feel it's kind of like lucky, right? To find a long like career journey you can be with for a long time in such a early stage of my career. And Vitalik also mentioned this, right? I think in his recent like blog. So he says like he actually like interviewed like Ripple several times when he leave Bitcoin magazine, right? I think at that time, Vitalik also wants to create something different from Bitcoin at that time. So he wants to build like smart contract into the blockchain, right? And of course, like Bitcoin won't allow him to do that. So that's why I think at that time, I remember like when Vitalik first like talked with Ripple, he also mentioned the idea, try to build smart contract into Ripple. Because Ripple also don't have smart contract. It's a very fast and instant payment network, but without a smart contract. So at that time, Vitalik wants to introduce like smart contract into blockchain, which I think is definitely a very interesting idea. So that's why, right, when I first like create Tron, I also believe a blockchain with a smart contract is the future. But obviously right now, like everybody is doing that, but we are talking about like in 2013, it's still a very early idea. And also for myself, I feels like crypto is just my home, right? I'm kind of like some like person. It's like lots of people come to United States, right? So people always asking you like why you come to United States for money, for freedom, or for other for career and for any other reasons. But for me, I feels like since I'm like a very crypto native, I kind of like a born in American. So that's why it makes me feels like I born in crypto. So that's why I'm very familiar with lots of the early story of crypto, but never even have a chance to be in other industries. So, and of course, I'm very satisfied with what we have achieved, I think in the past like 10 years. So I think I will be here for like many decades.
Yeah.
Yeah, Justin, we're entering the 2024 bull market. It's either the fourth or fifth crypto cycle, depending on how you count them. And you've actually seen all of them.
Yes.
And the number of people that see all of these crypto cycles becomes extremely rare, the number of cycles that we go on. Like, it's hard to last in crypto for so long. Like, even CZ, of all people, actually has to take a timeout, a hiatus. Yes. SBF is gone. Do Kwon is gone. But then also some other very big names are still here. Brian Armstrong, Vitalik is still here. The longer you go on in crypto, the harder it remains to actually still be a player in the game. And you are one of those players. How have you lasted so long? What has your strategy been? Every single bull market opportunity is an opportunity to wash out, but nonetheless, you are still here. What would you say you credit to the reason as to how you've lasted so long in crypto?
Yes, actually, this year has been 12 years I have been in this industry. So I think for the first cycle, sometimes this kind of the idea kind of across my mind is like, I will sell all my crypto and I can take the money and leave the table, right? It's like in a casino, right? So you think this is it. I have the enough money I have earned and I will go to other places. But after the 12 years in the crypto, and I think I become a crypto like native, I start to feel like this is my home, right? If I sell like all the crypto and go any other places, there's nowhere I can go. So that's why I right. I mean, eventually it's feel like this way. So that's why I think since 2017, actually, I think I always keep most of my crypto just in the position which I hold them. I never like sell the majority of my crypto after that. Even some people might like monitor my addresses and find out I do some kind of the trade, but for me, I think like 70% of my positions like stay like all the way. One of the biggest reason is because I have nowhere to go. So, and then because I also turned 34 now, because I think in my 20s, I feels like I have energy to go into lots of other industry, right? I can do AI, I can do robots, I can do other like high tech new industry. But for now, I think I can only be succeed in crypto world. So that's also why I keep like most of my wealth in crypto, because I don't really know like where I can go if I exit from crypto business.
Yeah, it's funny. Like the idea of nowhere to go, that's sort of how, whenever I am thinking about selling some of my crypto, people forget about the other side of that, which is you have to buy something else.
Exactly.
And like, I think about like, what else am I going to buy? Right? Do I want fiat? Like, am I more bullish on like stocks? Like, so this is why it becomes a conundrum in terms of like figuring out what to sell and when to sell. It's because you have to be bullish on some other category. And I find myself always gravitating back to crypto. I'm curious, but we want to spend, I think, a lot of the rest of the time talking about Tron, Justin. But since you've been through so many cycles, do you have any thoughts on this particular cycle on 2024? So like, where do you think we're going? Is this going to be a repeat of, you know, the 2021, 2022, where we sort of, you know, bubble up and then come crashing down? Does this just play out how it always has in sort of these four-year cycles? Or is this time different in some meaningful way? What's your take on this next cycle we're entering into?
Yes, I definitely believe this cycle is different from the three, like four cycles we have been through. One of the biggest difference, I believe, is mass adoption. So before that, even I think mass adoption has become like a narrative, right? Everybody believe in, but we never been so close to this narrative. Today, if you check like Binance website, you can see there is 170 million users registered on Binance. And if you check on like Tron addresses today, I think Tron, similar with Ethereum, has around 200 million addresses. So basically, I think, which means a very important signal, plus like Bitcoin ETF, right, we have today, which is also, I have a theory. So I believe if a new technology can convince at least 100 million people to join the technology, it's going to eventually reach to 7 billion 8 billion people on Earth, right? It's just like, it's more like a Facebook moment, right? So when like Facebook to hit the first 100 million users, you will start to realize social media are going to be everywhere, right? So it's not going to go away. So before that, like everybody, when I first joined like Bitcoin world in around 2012, everybody is talking about like Bitcoin is a social experiment, right? Can fail like anytime. I remember like when I tried to tell my friend to buy Bitcoin, I always told them, this is a experiment. You must be ready for lose 100% of your money, right? Because like anytime Bitcoin can go wrong and you probably going to lose all your money, right? Bitcoin can go to zero. It has no value at all. So you need to be prepared for this kind of the social experiment. But I think after four cycle, after like 12 years, I really believe like after ETF, Bitcoin has like passed the gate, right? So to become the digital gold. I think this is, has become a reality, just like Facebook has get into the first like 100 million users. And it still take time to get 8 billion people on Earth, but it's become 100% certainty now. So that's like the biggest, I think, certainty we have in with this cycle. And of course, I think for Tether, you know, and also for the mainstream blockchain like Ethereum, I believe it's going to become like Facebook, right, for everybody in the world. Probably different region will have different blockchain, right? It's just like in China, you have like WeChat, right? In US, you have like Facebook, you know, but eventually social media has become the thing for everyone in the world to connect. So that's like something I really believe going to happen in this cycle with like 100% of the certainty, and also for exchange as well. So before that, right, we have like different like dominant parties in exchange business, right? We have MT Gox, Poloniex, right? And then like Binance, right? Coinbase, right? In different time. But now I think in the next like 3 years, crypto exchange will be also be just like common as like the stock exchange we are using today. It's going to be with everyone's life. So that's the thing I believe. It's very different from the last cycle. Mm-hmm.
Justin, I kind of want to ask about your personal like vision for yourself, your own identity, and also your vision for your impact on the world.
Yes.
Like all of these builders that I think have lasted the test of time have some sort of thesis about how crypto works and what it's going to do for the world and how it's going to change the world. Like first, like what do you consider yourself to be? Like an entrepreneur, an investor, a world builder? And then also like, how would you describe your role in the broader context of like the 21st century? At the scale that like Tron and the Justin Sun Empire is, it has like a pretty big footprint in the world. What do you want that to do to the world? And how do you see your role evolving?
Yes, I believe my perspective for my role become, I will say, more humble after this like 12 years journey. Because I think when I first like joined the crypto industry, I am always like thinking like what I want to do in this industry, right? And what I want the world to become, right? So that's why clearly I have a design like how Tron protocol gonna be and what's the value of Tron and what I want to accomplish. But after this like kind of the 12 years journey, since I have been with crypto like all the way, I start to feel like I'm going to be the world need me the most because I still want to be a serial entrepreneur, right? So I will start other business, like other thing happens on all the blockchains. I think I want to be a part of it. But the first thing I will think about is like, is our team or myself is the best team to do those job? If not, right, probably we're going to move to something else. So I won't be like 12 years ago, right? I just want to do this, right? And I will achieve this no matter like who against it and no matter what, right? But right now, I think my strategy become like where need me the most, I will be devoted most of my time in those category. And I still fascinating about crypto world because we see like new things like coming out like basically every week. So I believe this is also a very good signal to show the energy and the show to everybody. Crypto industry is still very young, right? So probably I think after 30 years of development, crypto gonna become like Web 2, right? Web 3 gonna become like Web 2. There's nothing new. I'm probably gonna move to like Web 4 or Web 5.0, but I think probably still take some time.
Yeah, I think, Justin, it's an interesting comment. I've kind of like watched your character arc over time. And one thing I would say is I think maybe the world would appreciate a humble era Justin Sun, because I would say Tron did not start that way, right? I think a lot of people listening to this are coming in with the impression that Justin Sun is a marketer, marketer maybe extraordinaire, and started with some of these like kind of like very bombastic claims. And maybe we'll get to some of the critiques in a little bit. But let me say, segue the conversation into Tron itself. And part of the reason we are having this conversation with you is because when you zoom out and look at Tron itself, it actually has traction.
Yes.
And this may come as a surprise. And it certainly has for me in the last year or so, because I've got to admit, like myself personally, I've sort of dismissed Tron as kind of like, it's just like, I don't know what it is. I'm not really like, it's like marketing. There's not a lot there. But the great thing about these open blockchain economies is you can actually see what's going on under the hood. And let me throw out a few stats for people that might not be aware of Tron entering 2024. From a usage perspective, it very much looks like Tron is a peer-to-peer, right, stablecoin chain. That's a ton of the usage. And this, by the way, let me remind, like, well, I don't have to remind Bankless listeners, but let me remind everybody in crypto that part of the original vision for this thing was to bank the unbanked, okay? Give people in developing countries without a robust banking system a way to use crypto to improve their lives. And when you look at the stats, it actually seems like Tron is doing some of that. Okay, so I mentioned there is more Tether stablecoins on Tron than Ethereum at the time of recording. There was just like a recent flippening. There's nearly 20 million addresses hold between $1 and $100 in stablecoins. So these are small transactors. These are not whales shuttling money between exchanges. In fact, most of the transactions on Tron at this point in time do not involve centralized exchanges. A lot of the gas consumed on Tron is Tether. That's about 92% of the gas. And we just had Paulo, who is the CEO of Tether, on the podcast about a week ago. We talked to him about this, and you know, he told us in many developing countries where their local currency and banking structure has failed them, they are actually using Tron because it's a low-cost transaction chain. It's cheaper than Ethereum. And so I'm wondering, Justin, how you see Tron in 2024 with kind of this traction. Yeah, what's it doing for the world? What is Tron today?
Yes, definitely. I think one of the reasons we created Tron is just we want to bank the unbanked, because I think most of people in United States probably not aware of, right? Probably most of people, majority of the people in the world actually don't have bank account. Right. Because I actually like live in those regions. When I was, I think, like 18 years old in China, actually it's very hard at that time to get a credit card. So basically the banks don't want to serve lower value customer, right? Because if they want to serve those users, they need to go to those areas to build a branch, which they just don't want to do. So a large majority of the Chinese people don't have bank account. So it's a reality. So that's why I think when we first like create like Tron ecosystem, I really believe blockchain can be and will be one of the most important financial infrastructure for developing countries. I'm not like very actually like bullish about like a crypto in terms of like a banking side in United States, because like most of the US citizens has bank account and have them for decades, right? So everybody like using check for paying bills, like using credit card for paying bills. But for the vast majority of the population in China, in Vietnam, in Argentina, in Turkey, probably the first time they own a crypto address is also a first time they open even financial services actually for their whole life. So that's why we have seen like Tether become one of the core infrastructure in Asia, I think back to 2017. I don't know if you remember in 2017, actually China is still the largest cryptocurrency trading area, right? At that time. So Bitcoin is trading against like CNY at that time. But in 2017, there is basically a crypto ban happened in China, right? So all the Chinese based cryptocurrency exchange at that time shift from CNY to USDT, which I think is one of the most important like signal at that time. I believe really, first of all, boost Tether traffic, of course, but also migrate a vast majority of the crypto users from fiat world to blockchain, right? So after that, we have seen the stablecoin usage and the crypto payment really took off on Tron blockchain, right? And the Ethereum and the other blockchain as well. So that's why I believe this is going to be like one of the usage for the century. Because one of the reason I believe Facebook can flip actually, right? Flip the Web2 services like email or like what we have before is like Yellow Book, you know, and the other things is because Facebook is 10 times like better than the original services. I believe blockchain is definitely like 10 times better than most of the developing countries' financial infrastructure. So that's why I believe it's going to grow even stronger for the next like 5-10 years. So that's also one of the most important part. I feel like I'm really contributing something to the world here.
Yeah, like I said, I've actually been very surprised in a pleasant way that Tron has had so much traction, particularly in the developing market. And yes, another thing that surprised me, actually, Justin, is the economics of Tron. So bankless listeners will know the way David and I sort of approach these asset classes is from a fundamentals perspective, at least a bankless brand of fundamentals. Yes. And you can either be a monetary asset, or you could try to be a commodity, or you can try to be a capital asset. Yes. We think one of the things that blockchains are doing are selling blocks, basically, yes, and creating profitable block space and using those cash flows to essentially power the economic and value accrual of the token itself. Okay. Yes. Now, I want to throw out some other stats which kind of surprised me over the last year. So the Tron network right now is averaging about 3.2 million in daily fees. Okay. And it's had 1.4 million users over the last 180 days. And if you just look at this from a fee perspective, that puts Tron in the number three position. Some days, by the way, it's number two, behind only Ethereum and Bitcoin in the amount of daily fees that its block space is throwing off. Okay, just like put that in perspective. It's kind of surprising if you have not been looking at Tron. And one interesting fact about the way Tron is set up is actually 100% of Tron's transaction fees are burned. So bankless listeners know about EIP 1559, which burns a portion of transaction fees on Ethereum. On Tron, it's like 100, it's dialed up. It's like 100% or something, right?
Yes.
And so if you look at the revenue for 2023 of the block space that Tron sold to the market, $1 billion worth of Tron block space was sold. Okay, so I had buyers for $1 billion worth. And then if you look at issuance minus fee burn, which we often do, so Tron is issuing block rewards in order to pay the stakers and the validators in the Tron network, it's actually turning a profit, or it did in 2023, of $300 million. Okay, and so, you know, like all that gets burnt, and I guess sort of on paper, back to Tron holders.
Yeah.
It's kind of surprising when you look at it, and it actually puts, if you look at profitability in those terms, it's number two,
yes,
behind Ethereum.
Yes.
All right, so we're talking about blockchain usage, and we see a lot of non-Ethereum alternative layer ones, right? And if you look at it from that lens, in terms of block space sold and profitability of that block space, Tron's actually looking fairly compelling at a $12 billion valuation, at least compared to competitors. And again, yeah. I didn't expect to find this, you know, going into a Tron study, but here it is. That is the, you know, the block space. Do you have any comments on that, Justin? Maybe you're surprised that I'm surprised about this, but like, yeah, what's your take on all of this?
Yes, when I first designed a Tron network, right? So I think several principles on why I designed Tron block in this way. First of all, it's 100% fee burns. It's because I believe this is cleanest way to should be happen to the Tron blockchain, because I believe if we distribute the fee to the block validator or producers, it's gonna have lots of the controversy, right? So, and lots of people gonna take the profit for producing block. And we see lots of this kind of the attack happen on Ethereum, right? So basically you pay higher miner fees and they can validate your transaction first, right? So that's something I want to prevent happen in Tron blockchain. And also, of course, we want to avoid the centralization. Because, you know, I'm facing people is talking about Tron is all about Justin, right? So if the money goes to the block producers, it's gonna go all to his pocket, something like that. So we want to really get rid of this kind of the sauce, right? So that's why when we design the fee burns, we go 100% to burn it completely. And the second, of course, I think for those years, Tron had been invented for almost 7 years now. So I think for my philosophy is the simpler, the better, right? So basically we only have the Tron TRX voters. It's just similar to Ethereum today, right? You can stake your Tron and vote for your super representative, which is the block producer, and that's it, right? And all the fee goes to burn, which I think is also a good way for us to eliminate all the doubts for centralization, right? So because before that, lots of people is afraid of the centralized risk for Tron. As if today, I think I want to design Tron to be a really decentralized protocols. Personally speaking, today, I didn't run any Tron validators at all. So it's completely out of my hands now. Last year, there is hackers hack my wallet and total steal around $100 million worth of crypto. Yes, from my wallet. And I lost around, today is 40 million, 50 million of Tron on Tron blockchain, right? And there is nothing I can do to those addresses. So basically for me, I'm trying to create a decentralized protocol here, right? It's completely out of my hands now, and it's gonna continue to evolve, right? And also, of course, I have some opinion how it's gonna evolve. Mm-hmm. But eventually, I think today it's decided by the open source community and by crypto community. And actually, that's something in the future I want to design and want to do in the future is just Tron, right? And the Ethereum blockchain, just create some open source, transparent, decentralized machine, and it can running forever, right? Just by itself. So that's also, I believe, is a very powerful idea. It's just like Bitcoin, right? So Satoshi don't have to be the applicants for Bitcoin, ETF. It's all happened in this kind of the philosophy. So that's why I think for me in the future, if I want to do something new, I really want to still create some decentralized open source and completely, right, running by itself, and it can continue to up and run.
Uniswap is revolutionizing the DeFi space, not just by enabling swaps, but by empowering you to swap smarter with a comprehensive suite of products for faster, safer, and more informed swapping. Say goodbye to pop-up wallet extensions. The Uniswap extension is coming soon, and this extension is not a pop-up. It is a sidebar in your browser that persists no matter where you are on the web. This means you can swap, sign, or send and receive crypto anytime, anywhere, without obstructing your browser window. But that's not all. The Uniswap web app now features limit orders, so you can buy and sell any token at your price on your terms without having to watch the market. And the best part, limit orders are built on Uniswap X, which means no gas fees. Also new to the web app is the data and insights pages with real-time candlestick charts, price data, transaction logs, and detailed pool data all integrated into the Uniswap web app. All of these new releases come together to create one platform to help you swap smarter every time, no matter where you are, on web, mobile, or on the extension. Click the link in the show notes to sign up for the extension waitlist and download the mobile app. Start swapping smarter with Uniswap.
Celo is the mobile-first, EVM-compatible, carbon-negative blockchain built for the real world, driving real-world use cases like mobile payments and mobile DeFi, and with Opera MiniPay as one of the fastest-growing Web3 wallets, Celo is seeing a meteoric rise with over 300 million transactions and 1.5 million monthly active addresses. And now, Celo is looking to come home to Ethereum as a layer 2. Optimism, Polygon, Matter Labs, and Arbitrum have all thrown their hats in the ring for the Celo layer 2 to build upon their stacks. Why the competition? The Celo layer 2 will bring huge advantages like a decentralized sequencer, off-chain data availability secured by Ethereum validators, and one block finality. What does that all mean for you? With Celo layer 2, gas fees will stay low and you can even pay for gas natively using ERC20 tokens, sending crypto to phone numbers across wallets using Social Connect. But Celo is a community governed protocol. This means that Celo needs you to weigh in and make your voice heard. Join the conversation in the Celo forums. Follow Celo on Twitter and visit Celo.org to shape the future of Ethereum. Mantle, formerly known as BitDAO, is the first DAO-led Web3 ecosystem, all built on top of Mantle's first core product, the Mantle Network, a brand new high-performance Ethereum Layer 2 built using the OP stack, but uses EigenLayer's data availability solution instead of the expensive Ethereum Layer 1. Not only does this reduce Mantle Network's gas fees by 80%, but it also reduces gas fee volatility, providing a more stable foundation for Mantle's applications. The Mantle Treasury is one of the biggest DAO-owned treasuries, which is seeding an ecosystem of projects from all around the Web3 space for Mantle. Mantle already has sub-communities from around Web3 onboarded, like Game7 for Web3 gaming, and Bybit for TVL and liquidity and on-ramps. So if you want to build on the Mantle network, Mantle is offering a grants program that provides milestone-based funding to promising projects that help expand, secure, and decentralize Mantle. If you want to get started working with the first DAO-led Layer 2 ecosystem, check out Mantle at mantle.xyz and follow them on Twitter at 0xmantle.
I wanted to definitely get into the structure of the Tron blockchain as it stands today and as it'll stand in the future. But maybe we can start from the beginning. Justin, my first impression of the Tron blockchain, I think, is pretty representative of the typical Ethereum person's perception of the Tron blockchain. One of the first things I heard about it was claims of plagiarism from the Filecoin IPFS white paper. That was my first understanding of what Tron was. And this was back in 2018. Tron isn't perfectly a copy of the EVM. It's got the Tron virtual machine, but it's highly proximate to the EVM. And I think for a lot of these reasons, the copy and pasting of the EVM and also the white paper, a lot of people in Ethereum have just never touched Tron. And so there's kind of this tale of two perceptions of Tron. You have banking the unbanked. You have some of the most prolific payment usage in developing countries, actually meaningfully uplifting parts of the global population. And then inside of the crypto industry, you have people that just won't simply touch it because they think it's just too dubious, too toxic. And this transcends beyond Ethereum. This is, I think Bitcoiners would say this as well. How would you characterize the perception of Tron by the crypto industry? And how do you respond to some of the claims about plagiarism and the short-termer strategies around the Tron blockchain?
Yes, I discussed this with Compound founder, Robert. Mm-hmm. Actually, we come to a conclusion lots of people will be surprised, actually. So one of the mistakes I think I make in around 2017 is I should copy Ethereum 100% rather than 95%. one of the biggest problem here is, when we copy Ethereum 95%. And then lots of people is accusing us for copy Ethereum and then accusing us for, you know, you can't do that. So that's why, you know, actually it's kind of like a change of our mind. We are thinking about like, okay, let's make like 5% like different from Ethereum, you know, and that's like what Tron it is today, right? Mm-hmm. It has like 5% difference and 95% is the same. But the problem is actually these 5% difference really make hard for Ethereum users to get into Tron blockchain. So let's take some example, right? Like Tron, Solana, EOS, ADA, you know, for example, these four blockchain. So basically, I think Tron is the most similar to Ethereum in those four, right? I use like Solana, I use like ADA and EOS. It's completely different from Ethereum. It's not like even a same thing. So every like language structure wise, like everything is different from Ethereum. Tron is more similar to Ethereum compared to these four blockchain. But if Tron compared to Polygon, BSC, and BNB Chain, basically other Ethereum compatible, like layer one or layer two, you will see actually, you know, BNB Chain is more compatible to Ethereum because actually, right, you can use the same addresses in like MetaMask or any Ethereum compatible like wallet or infrastructure, right? Like any Ethereum infrastructure, you can just like change the network to Ethereum, you know, and you can use them. So I think this is the mistake I made. I should like make this like 100% compatible to Ethereum, no matter like what people say to this decision, mm-hmm. because this can like bring even more users to the Tron ecosystem. But, you know, it's 2017 at that time. Right. Like copying Ethereum is not like very popular and everybody criticize you for doing that, right? But I mean, after in 2021, it's like everyone is doing it, right? Like BSC, like Polygon, like everyone, right? I won't even mention the rest of the name. And I believe Tron can at least double its users if we make it 100% compatible. But, you know, lots of things, like when you made them, you can't change, right? That's the blockchain. So even we are still doing some works to be like 96%, right? 97%. But eventually it's impossible to make it right. Like 100%.
Sure.
And that's like something I should have done, right? In 2017, but it's impossible now.
So making Tron 100% like Ethereum is always going to be like a technical challenge. And like at some point you can't really get all the way there,
yes.
But there's also like the non-technical aspects of a blockchain.
Yes.
You've called Tron the world's largest decentralized ecosystem in advertisements. I remember at Consensus in 2018, there was Dare to DeFi with Justin Sun's face like right next to it. Like the world's largest decentralized ecosystem. And with Justin Sun's face. And there's a little bit of like, you know, it's hard to square these two things, right? Like largest decentralized ecosystem, Justin Sun's face. So like, how do you actually inspire a more decentralized ecosystem in Tron? Like who are the people actually running the Tron validators?
Yes.
And overall, what's your vision for Tron's like decentralization?
Yes. I wouldn't do this kind of advertising for now. I think that's is like back to 2020, you know, when we first be in the Consensus like conference, my team is like, said like, we can't find a spokesperson for Tron. I said like, why not just like try myself? It's fine. Right. So we don't even realize we will create like these kind of the things people might discuss. And for today, I think Tron validators is like very diversified, right? We have like every exchange in the world running Tron nodes, like OKX, Binance, like HTX, all different exchanges in the world, all the like Japanese like regulated exchange. And we have like lots of validator nodes. It's just like ST, ETH, like Lido, these kind of the developers in Minty Stone. And also lots of the social community developers like from Africa, from Turkey, like everywhere to run those nodes. This year, actually, one of my job is to enable more and more bigger enterprise to run Tron nodes. I think in 2024, we are starting to get more and more like enterprise, very big enterprise to running Tron supernodes to become our block producer. So I think this is one of my job to let more people to running Tron nodes. And also on another hand, I think for encouraging the developers, decentralized Tron is also one of my personal mission here. Because, you know, back to like 2017, I believe like nobody like really cares, right? Who is running like Tron nodes. But for today, like every Tron transaction probably like processing hundreds, millions of dollars, like every block even. So like people take really serious about like who is running those blocks. So I think I want to like make sure like everybody comfortable of like how the ecosystem evolve and feel safe in those protocol.
So Justin, I have kind of like maybe a personal request as someone who is a crypto native and in the ecosystem. Yes. And I want to see how this lands with you. So you were kind of laughing earlier about the, you know, 2018, a picture of your face where you have the world's largest decentralized ecosystem.
Yes.
And it's like Justin's son's face, right? Yes. And your comment was like, hey, I wouldn't do that again.
Yeah.
And I would say that the flavor that many crypto natives have of Tron is just like hyper aggressive marketing,
yes.
Like skewing towards bombastic marketing.
Yes.
And when I like look at the traction that Tron has right now, which is like actual real traction,
yes,
in developing countries with peer-to-peer transactions, I'm kind of like, you don't need to do that, man.
Yes.
Like you don't need to do that anymore. And also like, yes, it's, I don't know if, you know, maybe the 30s you and the more kind of like the humble era, yes, Justin's son would decide to do things differently.
Yes.
I'll tell you another experience that just David and myself had with Bankless. Recently, one of our writers did at Bankless a bull bear case for Tron. We write bull bear cases for like just about every ecosystem.
Everything, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yes, wouldn't you know it, we got a Telegram message from someone claiming to represent the Tron ecosystem, from someone claiming to be your lawyer,
yeah,
issuing a cease and desist, saying, take the post down.
Yeah.
Okay? And this doesn't sit well for a crypto media company that's, yeah, just like, we're not going to take the post. We're just talking.
Not actually the whole post, just the bear side.
Yeah.
Just the bear side of the bull and bear side.
Okay. And so the context here is like, we've seen aggressive marketing. The first time we actually write something, yeah, about Tron, we get a cease and desist.
Yeah.
That feels aggressive too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, you don't need to do that. Do you have any thoughts here? Any comments here?
Yes, I can agree with you. I'm a crypto native founder, right? I know like what crypto people think. So I definitely know, trust me. But sometimes, you know, things get a little bit complicated for like when like lawyer involved, you know. Sometimes I can't really like control like the legal team, like compliance team, like what they are doing, right? And also, for one of the example here is like, one of the reasons I won't ever doing this kind of the Justin Sun, the largest like crypto ecosystem, as again, it's also not only because image, like, right? It's also because like, legal, like compliance, like reasons. I can't do these kind of things anymore. But of course, right? I'm 32 now, and I don't need this kind of the advertise. This is probably like when you like 23, you are very into this kind of the idea. Yeah, but I definitely believe Tron will become more and more mature and humble in the future, because that's also how we position ourselves in all the like developing countries across the world.
Justin, I want to hang on this whole like cease and desist thing. Fortunately, Bankless is successful enough to the point where we can hire and manage our own lawyers.
Right.
So we had our lawyers guiding us against your lawyers. But if a smaller, more independent content creator, it was interested in writing a critical piece about Tron, they might not be in that same kind of position. And so are we the only ones that have gotten a cease and desist? Or is this a practice that you know has also been applied elsewhere? And can I get you to commit to not sending cease and desist to anyone about like smaller than Bankless, for example.
Or let's say if your legal team does it without your knowledge, can we surface it to you and just be like, hey,
like not these guys.
Trust me, I completely understand your points because I am the like one of the donors for Holdenau against Craig Wright on the lawsuit. Mm. And I was also one of the sponsor for, remember when the Mushy brothers suing ZACH XBT, I'm also like one of the donors for that. And also I'm also one of the biggest donors for XMR when a lawsuit was going after him. So I definitely, I think in action, like really into this kind of the freedom of speech. And also, of course, freedom of blockchain itself, right? So it's decentralized eventually.
You know what, Justin, one idea I have for you. I know in the past that there've been some like skeptics in the Ethereum community, right? And I think that you've survived this long, you have traction on Tron. I almost see like the crypto native community kind of warming up to what you're doing, at least. And like, this is kind of an opportunity for almost a redemption tour, I would say, in some ways for Justin Sun. And one thing that you could do, as long as you're in kind of like the donating spirit, the Protocol Guild is an organization in need of funds. Okay. Protocol Guild does fantastic things. They support Geth. They support the Ethereum ecosystem. I'm sure that they would be very pleased to have a donation from Tron and Justin Sun. And I'm not obligating you to that, of course.
Yes.
I'm just throwing it out as a suggestion. If you're talking about XRP and Craig Wright, that sort of thing, that would be a way to win Ethereum hearts and minds.
Yes.
You don't have to comment on that, but you know, something to think about, I would say. A question I have for you. You have been very active as a crypto native with many of your personal funds. And there are websites that track what is Justin Sun doing? What's he farming lately? Like, what is he invested in? All of these types of things. What is your favorite activity to do in crypto right now? And what is your second favorite chain? So apart from Tron, what chain do you love the most getting into kind of like DeFi crypto shenanigans on?
Ethereum, I will say. Definitely Ethereum. So I'm actually one of the earliest supporter for Ethereum when it's doing ICO fundraising. So I trade my first Ethereum on Poloniex at that time, you know, since like Poloniex is like one of the major like exchange supporting Ethereum at that time. And I have been like one of the biggest miners for Ethereum. I think besides like when the SBF go away, right now, I'm the biggest like on-chain like miner for Ethereum blockchain. Yeah, I think in the future, I'm planning to play on more and more blockchain, even besides like Tron, because I think I can always like learn about like what community is doing and what crypto community is excited about. Continue to learn. I think probably that's like one of my biggest advantage. And for your suggestion, I definitely will seriously consider that.
Beautiful.
Yes.
There was a post that I saw you write, Justin, maybe like a week or two ago, talking about some of the next plans for Tron, the technical plans.
Yes.
And that involved a Bitcoin layer two. Maybe you could illuminate some of the plans that you have for Tron in 2024 and 2025 as it relates to Bitcoin. What's going on over there?
Yes, sure. Totally. So first of all, I think for building a layer two for Bitcoin is like dream for everyone, right? Every developers, since Vitalik is trying to do something on Bitcoin in terms of like smart contract, like back to 2013. So that's why I believe a Bitcoin like layer two solution compatible with like Tron blockchain is definitely going to be a very interesting thing because it can bridge like Bitcoin from the Bitcoin original network to Tron network. And also, of course, we can find a way to bridge the Tether and stablecoin on Tron network to Bitcoin. So, which I believe like is very powerful. We're going to find a way to do it. Even I think probably right now we are still in the developing phase of the protocol. At the beginning, probably going to be a little bit centralized because it's going to be have like trusted nodes to hold custody for those funds. But I think we're going to try our best to make sure it's permissionless, it's decentralized. layer two solution. So I think that's something we have been always like working on, try to bridge like Tron with like Bitcoin together.
So if that's what's next for Tron, the chain itself, I'm curious, what's next for Justin Sun? So what are you planning to do? Is Tron kind of your project for the next half decade or more? Are you going to get up to some other things? Like, where does your future lie?
Yes, for me, I think, first of all, there's nowhere else for me to go, right? So I have to stick in the crypto industry. And also, of course, since I'm the founder of Tron, I will be still spend a majority of my time to think about like how we can utilize the Tron blockchain to empower like everybody around the globe, including like users, like developers, and how we can make stablecoin transaction available for everyone, like globally. And also, of course, I will focus lots of way to see how we can help crypto developers and the newcomers, right, into the blockchain space to grow. I kind of like the speech like CZ left Binance, right? He made those speech. I think he has been enough to be like an entrepreneur to build his own business. He wants to spend the rest of his time to really like help others to build their business, like to build together for the next generation of entrepreneur. I think for myself, it's kind of like the same mindset here. So I think I will transition myself to helping like other developers to build on blockchain rather than like building everything on my own. So that's like my general will.
Justin, you mentioned CZ, and I can tell by the way you talk about his kind of departing speech that maybe he is someone you admire.
Yes.
Who else? Who are some other figures in crypto that you like and admire?
CZ, definitely the one. I think I learned from him since the beginning. And also, I think definitely Vitalik. I actually, you know, read like every blog post of Vitalik. And I really learned.
What do you like about Vitalik? What do you like about him?
Vitalik is like a gold mine, you know. Like every time, like when I don't know like what's happening and what's going on in the crypto world, and I went to like Vitalik blog post and read those posts, and I really like learn lots of things from Vitalik. And I always feels like Vitalik's idea is actually, you know, sometimes it's like 5 years, like even 10 years ahead of like crypto reality. So that's why like don't invest into the project like Vitalik says in his post most of the time, because I think those ideas still needs like 3 or 5 years to evolve to become a really like a viable business. But if you really want to know about like what happened in the crypto space and what's the next things we need to do for the next like 5 to 10 years, you need to read about like a Vitalik blog.
Have you ever talked to Vitalik, Justin? What do you think Vitalik thinks of Tron and what you have to do?
I actually know about like Vitalik back to 2015. So we met in Beijing. We actually take a picture together and discuss lots about like how to build things in the crypto space. But of course, right after, like when I create Tron, right, Vitalik and I don't really like talk much. But last time actually we spoke is about the donation to Ukraine. Mm-hmm. So remember, like at that time, you know, Ukraine is raising funds to help the people in there. Because at that time, you know, I also talked to Ukraine government to raise funds for Ukraine people, and Vitalik like asking me like how to connect with those people because he wants to do the same thing. That's like last time when we spoke.
I would actually love for you guys, I don't know if this is possible, but like in my world, it would be really interesting for you and Vitalik to connect sometime. And this obviously doesn't have to be public on a podcast, but yeah, I recall you bidding for a lunch with Warren Buffett at one point in time. This is one of the big kind of marketing initiatives back in the day.
Yes.
I wonder what a Protocol Guild donation might get you. Whether that could get you a lunch with Vitalik. But yeah, it would be really interesting for you two to connect.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful that happens sometime this cycle.
Yes, I'm open to this idea. For sure.
One person that you're on record for saying that you admire outside of the crypto industry, Justin, is Elon Musk.
Yes.
What do you think about Elon Musk today? How do you feel about him as a leader or a role model? Does the take that you had a few years ago still stand?
Yes, I think still stands. One of the, because you know, I graduate from like Hupan University, right? Which my mentor is Jack Ma. Actually, you know, Jack Ma is as crazy as Elon Musk. Mm. He wants to do lots of crazy things as well. But one of the biggest reasons is the reality in China, right? In once you are in China, become like an entrepreneur, it's highly like regulated. There's lots of things even you want to achieve, you cannot do. So that's why I think even Jack Ma sometimes envy Elon Musk, because he's in United States. He can do whatever he wants and achieve lots of things. So that's why I think for myself, I always see like Elon Musk as the possibilities of entrepreneurs, right? He is doing like everything every entrepreneur imagined themselves can do, right? So that's why I also try to beat like the Blue Origin and the SpaceX, like a spaceship, right? Probably one day I can go to space. I think this is really become like one of the muse for myself, right? In my entrepreneurship.
Well, Justin, this has been a fascinating conversation. I've learned a lot. And, you know, I'm glad we had this today.
Yes.
I guess as we maybe wrap up and close this conversation, I'm wondering if you'd give kind of a last word to somebody that has not used Tron, is maybe skeptical about it. Yeah, give your pitch for why Tron. Why does Tron make sense in 2024? Why is Tron good for the world?
Yes. First of all, I believe Tron gonna be last forever, right? So we are a crypto like blockchain with 200 million users and with 15 billion market cap of the stablecoin here. There is numerous of the people like making transaction on Tron network around $15 billion. It's not like a very like simple like numbers. It's becomes supporting people's life. There, all the business activities happen on blockchain. It's just like Taobao, like Alibaba, right? All the transaction happen on Alibaba is not like some numbers Jack Ma wants to brag about. It's like real people's life happen in the blockchain, right? If you haven't checked about Tron, please do. And hopefully for the next 10 years, we can bank the unbanked for everyone in the world.
Well, Justin, thank you for joining us today. It's been a great conversation.
Thank you.
Bankless Nation, I will leave you with some action items, including I pulled a lot of stats from this episode.
Yes.
I'll link you to those links where I got those stats.
Yes.
It's some fantastic reports about Tron.
Yes.
Got to end with this, of course. Risks and disclaimers. You know, crypto is risky.
Yes.
You could lose what you put in, but we are headed west. This is the frontier. It's not for everyone, but we're glad you're with us on the Bankless journey. Thanks a lot.